today I'm excited about this message, and I had a lot of plans for what I wanted to talk about over the next few weeks, but sometimes the Lord can use some people in some really mysterious ways. You ever had that occurrence before? And someone asked me a question last week, and I have not been able to get away from this question, and I felt like it was something that we needed to talk about. And this was the question they asked, and I thought this would be a good way to start. They said, how is it that some Christians, some believers, look like nothing bad ever happens to them? Like everything just seems to go well for them. They always look happy. They look like they have it all together. Come on, don't raise your hand if you've ever wondered that, because I think we've all been in that boat before. Am I right? Like, why does nothing ever go wrong for them? I wish one thing would happen to them so we could see how they would be. I know that's not what you say, but some of y'all, I know you well enough, that's how you think. Okay? And you're laughing at yourself right now. That's how we know who you are. Okay. It's like these people have, it's like the it factor, like an X factor, if you will. And it's like God's favor is on their life for some reason. And it almost seems like they have a little bit more spiritual power than the rest of us. You ever, nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. You ever noticed that before? And it's like whenever they pray, their prayers get heard. And like, for some of us, when we pray, it just feels like I'm just talking to the wind. Come on, are we talking to the right people today? It just seems like whenever they pray, it's like all of heaven just stopped what they were doing and listened to them. And like if you hear them pray, like you go to a prayer gathering and you hear them pray, you're thinking, I do not sound like that when I pray. They just sound like they belong in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? And like my prayers sound like they belong like in a little kid's book. But have you ever wondered these things? Like, it's like they seem to know every verse in the Bible for every situation. Just kind of like, I don't know those verses, but it's kind of like out of nowhere, they just come and drop a verse. It's like, how in the world are they, I mean, are they just that smart that they attend some kind of training in the Bible? You know, it's like when something happens, they're not shaken, they got a verse for it, and they just have this really, really, really deep spiritual assurance that maybe some of us may not have. And I want to talk about that today. And I'm going to set this thing up with an example, a story. I was helping my dad. My dad always had this dream of building a shop. It's most dudes' dream, okay, to have a shop. And really what it is, it's a man house, okay? Let's just call it what it is. Ladies call it a she shed. This is a man house, okay? It's not even a man cave. Man cave is in your house. This is a man house where it's like you got all the things you want. And so my dad has waited his whole entire life to do this because he's restoring these old cars. And he just wanted a place where if he wanted to leave it a mess, he could leave it a mess and get away with it. Come on, you see, guys are amening right now. And so he decides he saves some money, and he's like, I'm ready to build this thing. So he asked me if I would come help him because, you know, we're the DIY family. We do everything ourselves. My dad, for a living, he built metal buildings, and so we're like, we were going to build this thing. So we go over there, and I put my tool belt on, put my gloves on. We're going to start putting this building together, and there was a steel beam that we had to lift up 14 feet in the air. And I mean, I'm a strong guy and everything. Obviously, but like to lift a beam 14 feet in the air, I can't reach that high, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can get it up. I just can't reach that high. And it didn't matter how hard we tried. We couldn't get the beam 14 feet in the air. In fact, let's just be honest. We couldn't pick it up ourselves. But my dad had a friend that had this piece of equipment called a Skytrak. And basically what it is, it's a forklift that can reach up really, really, really high, and it can angle out. And so my dad calls this man, his name is Tim, and he says, Tim, we can't pick this thing up. Can you come with your Skytrak so we can put it up? And as soon as he showed up, we got to work, and we had all the steel frame for this building put up in less than 2 hours. That's impressive, by the way. But we couldn't do it in our strength. We needed a little extra power to be able to accomplish it. We had the tools. Come on. We had the willpower, but we just didn't have the strength to get this thing up. And I believe that Christians today all over the world put on their tool belts every day. They put on their gloves and they say, we're going to live an amazing Christian life. And in their own strength, they're striving and fighting and they're battling, and we're not getting very far. Because we don't have the power to overcome some of the things in and of ourselves. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're just not that good. You're just not that good. I mean, you're good, but you're just not that good. Some of y'all don't know who to look at right now. It's like, I don't want to put anybody down. Some of you, it is no problem. You're just looking over at that person next to you, you're like, you weak. You're weak. Strength, striving, trying so hard. And why is that? And I think it's because we're trying to live this Christian life in our own strength. We're trying to do God things with man's power, and it's just not enough. And so usually what we do is we feel like we need to get more tools. And there's a lot of tools out there. There's a lot of resources that are available. I mean, you can search anything on the internet. You can watch any podcast from any preacher anywhere around the world. And so we got plenty of teaching. We got plenty of resources. It's all available, and most of it is free. But what is it? Why is it that we feel powerless? And why is it that we don't have victory in some areas of our life that we should, even though we have all the teaching? Why is it that marriages are still struggling and we've been to all the conferences, we sat through all the workshops? Why are we still so stressed out whenever we have sat through all of the counseling sessions and paid good money to do it? And we read 13 reasons why you're stressed and 42 reasons how to get over it. And we watched that video and we did everything, but yet it's not going anywhere. We do okay for a little while, and then one little thing presses our button and we lose our mind. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand right now. Why is that? When we have all of the stuff, maybe it's because we're missing the power. We're missing the power. And I want you to know this, that the power that we need is available to you today. In fact, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you today. It's available. And so it doesn't matter how big the situation is, there is power available to you today. And we can be filled with this powerful Spirit of God and have the ability to live a supernatural life in a natural world. Can I get an amen? So today I want to talk to you about the X factor. The X factor. I want to go to John chapter 14, verse 16. We're going to read this and then we're going to jump in. John 14, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Another version says, and he will give you a helper. Isn't God good? I mean, Jesus is saying this. Look, I know you got me, but you're still going to need some help. And my Father is going to give you some help. He's going to send an advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Now watch this. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. Strong. The world isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. He's with you now, but later he will be in you. Let's pray. Jesus, today, I'm asking that you will make the Holy Spirit come alive and be real to every single person here. And I just pray that our minds and our attention will be fixed on hearing from you today. And I pray that this idea, the person of the Holy Spirit, is going to make such a difference in our lives that we're going to be able to overcome these struggles that in our own strength we couldn't even handle. But your strength, God, working in our life, will help us to be exactly who you created us to be, to live a victorious life, no matter what the circumstances may be. So, Holy Spirit, walk every aisle of this room. Touch every heart. And help us see the possibility, Father, of living in complete and total freedom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, people are familiar with God. We've heard enough about God through our life that we know that God is God and God is the Father. We've heard a lot about Jesus and we know that he is the Son of God. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit is like that strange family member that no one really talks to. You know what I'm saying? It's like he's there, but like he shows up for everything, but we don't really interact much with him because we're much more comfortable talking to the Father and talking to the Son. And we have this just a lot more relatability because we know that God loves us and we know that God is in control and he is sovereign in all these things. And we understand Jesus because we know that he went to the cross and he died for our sins. And so all of these things just really, really make it I would say easier for us to grab the concept of God and Jesus. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's a little bit of a struggle for us because the way he's described through the Bible is like wind. And like, okay, that is kind of like hippie. You know what I'm saying? Like wind. Woo. So we're a little bit nervous about that. And like we like to appear to have it all together. Am I right? And so if we get a little bit too much into the wind, people might think we're drifting into some things that might be a little spooky and stuff. But I want to throw a word at you today you probably heard before. It's the word Trinity. Anybody ever heard that? Now, listen, don't get this confused with the seasoning mix that we use in Louisiana before we cook anything. It is called the Holy Trinity, but it's just three different ingredients that are used to season the food before you jump in. It's not like the bland food that most people eat. But I'm talking about the Trinity as it relates to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look for the word Trinity in the Bible, you're not going to find it. Okay, and some people, they just, oh, well, that's not God if it ain't in the Bible. Let's not get weird, okay? Because it's a word used to describe this picture of God. And really, if we're going to use the word Trinity, we have to just kind of break it down. The word Trinity is tri-unity, three united, okay? I'm trying to take you down a little trail today to teach you some things so that you can grasp all of who God really, really is, okay? So you and I, we were made in the image of God, all right? And we're three-part beings, all right? So our three parts, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And so we're made in the image of God, and God is a three-part being functioning as one. So are you. You're a three-part being functioning as one. And most people, when they hear the word Trinity, they check out because it feels too much like doctrine. It feels too much like theology. And they just don't know if their minds can handle this. Your mind can handle this. And let me tell you why your mind can handle this. Because you know God loves you. Amen? And you really, really want to know who God is. Not just part of him, but all of him. Amen? Not just this side of him, but all of who he is. So watch this. So God is this three-part being. We have God, who is a Father, okay? We have Jesus, who is the Son, and then we have the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit. And you're saying, okay, I get that, but how can God be Father and how can God be Son all at the same time? Let me break it down for you like this. If we were to take these three parts, the soul, the body, and the spirit, I think God would be like the soul part of it. I think Jesus would be like the body part, the flesh, because he is God who became flesh on the earth. And then there is the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit part of it. And so you in this whole thing, you have your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I think God would be like the mind because he is writing the plans. He is like the mastermind, if you will. And some of you that are into all that kind of stuff, you love hearing that. But then you have Jesus, who is the will, because what did he say? I came to do the will of my Father. But then there's also the Holy Spirit. And this is why I think that we're a little bit like not skeptical, but we kind of keep our the distance from it. Because I think the Holy Spirit really shows us the emotion of God. I do. And we don't want to get labeled as too emotional, because if you start getting labeled as emotional, people automatically assume you got a lot of drama. And they don't want to deal with drama. It's easier to deal. Watch this. It's easier to deal with black and white, like stuff written in a book, than it is to deal with emotions. Am I right? Because when it's emotions, it's full on color. Growing up, my aunt, who was in Louisiana, you have godparents, okay? There's a very heavy Catholic culture there. And so the way we say it is this. My godfather is my parent. Okay? And then my godmother is my nanny. I know, y'all looking at me like it's weird, but that's what we call it, okay? Well, my nanny, I was her favorite. I'm not making this up. I'm serious. I like to mess with you a lot. I don't lie. I have to stretch some things. But I need you to know, I was her favorite. And 1 year for Christmas, she bought me a 13-inch black and white TV. High five your neighbor and say that's big time. Come on, that's big time. 13-inch black and white. It was not cable ready. Had the little dial, and you had to put the matchstick in it to hold it. Some of y'all are like, what are you talking about, bro? That's just how it was rolling back in the day. I was 6 years old. 13 inches, baby, in the bedroom. Couldn't catch anything, but I had a 13-inch black and white. And that static that's black and white, it looks the same on a color TV as it does a black and white. Just saying. And then the Atari came out. Oh, now we're really going somewhere. It's like the first legit video game system showing up in the house. And so my aunt, who assumes that I'm her favorite, got me an Atari. And we put the Atari on the 13-inch TV. You know how close we sat to it? That close. I mean, my phone is almost as big as that TV. And we would play these games in black and white. Remember Combat? Worst graphics ever. But in black and white, it's worse than worse. Pac-Man. Is that a ghost? Some of y'all are like, what is Pac-Man? Google it. It's legit stuff from back in the day. And I remember when my mom allowed us over the summer to take the Atari out of the bedroom on the 13-inch black and white TV and bring it into the living room. The 25-inch cabinet TV, big TV, heavy TV, full color though, no remote yet. They didn't have the technology. And we put Pac-Man on the 25-inch TV, and it was a whole new world. And now Pac-Man came alive. I didn't know that was what Pac-Man was like on the black and white TV. And I use that example because a lot of people are living in a black and white Christian world and only see the Word of God as rules. And they don't see the full life of the Word of God. And I'm here today to tell you, you don't have to live your life in black and white anymore. We have full color, HD, 4K, whatever you want to call it. God wants to make himself real to you, to where when you look at him, you say, this God is real. He is real. He's not just black and white words on a paper, but he is the Word that became flesh, that came alive. How did he do that? How did he do that? It's the Holy Spirit that made him come alive. So watch this. When you and I die, our body goes in the ground, but our spirit goes to heaven. Now pay attention to this. When Jesus dies, his body goes to heaven, but his spirit stays here with us. How in the heck do you expect God to be in all these different places with all these people? I mean, a human being can only be in one place at one time. But the Spirit of God can be everywhere. You see how God is at work in our lives today. And isn't it something that the one area of our lives that I really think we need the most help is in our emotions? Come on. It's the part of God that we're just kind of like, ah. You know, we don't even have the words to say to describe. It's just kind of like, I need to read something up on this. And I get it. Listen, because I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be spooky. Because I know people who are like that, and God help us, we can't figure them out. They're abstract Christians. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's weird. It freaks me out, and I know this stuff. And we don't want that. I don't want to be that. And so we kind of distance ourselves. It's almost like, well, I don't want to be that. So I'm going to swing completely to the other side of the pendulum. And for the sake of appearance, we avoid the very thing that God gave us that really makes us come alive. So watch this. In the Old Testament, you see God on display. You really do. In the New Testament, you see Jesus on display. But now that Jesus has ascended into heaven, now we're living in what's called the church age, and this is where the Holy Spirit is on display. And so when you begin to read through the book of Acts, which is after Jesus has ascended into heaven, now you're starting to see people coming alive in God's power and God enabling them to do some things that really we didn't think was possible, but because the Spirit of God is filling them, it's like, what has gotten into you, boy? What has gotten into you that you're able to overcome these struggles that most people just can't kick? What is it? It is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is mentioned over 800 times throughout the Bible. That's a lot. Like, I don't think there's people that are mentioned 800 times in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit is mentioned over 800 times. He's the Spirit of Jesus. Watch this. He's a spirit of holiness. He's a spirit of power. And the best part of it is this. He's promised to you and me. It's not just offered. It's promised. Not just to the spiritually elite. When you read in Acts chapter 2 and you see who God said he would pour out his spirit, he said he would pour it out on the young and the old. Come on, if you're young in here, say whoop whoop. If you're old in here, just say yep. Some people think it's for special classes of people. But he said, I'll pour it out on sons and daughters, any sons and daughters in here. Watch this. He said, I will also pour it out on servants as well. So God is saying, I have this incredible promise. And don't you back yourself in the corner saying that it's not for you. It's for all who will believe. Look at your neighbor and say, it's for me. It's for me. It's a promise. It's for me. So why then, if this is an incredible promise, and all this stuff about the Holy Spirit, why are we living powerless? Why are people who are believers living powerless? I think the first reason is this. People are just unaware. Just unaware of the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's a verse in Acts 19, verse 2. And this one will challenge you a little bit. It says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they answered, no. We hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. This is the church in motion. And you go read it in the book of Acts. They're going throughout the world, beginning to spread the gospel, and they come upon this one group of believers. And as they're there ministering to them, they ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? And they're like, Holy Spirit? I didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. And they're like, yeah, there's the Holy Spirit. He'll empower you to live like Jesus. I didn't know. If you knew that there was something that would help you to live more like Jesus, how many of you would say, can I have that? Can I have that? So what is it with us? I think it's we're unaware. Here's the second thing. I think people are hesitant. I think we're a little bit hesitant because we have a hard time believing that he's real, and it's kind of like this whole emotional kind of thing, and so we don't want to get labeled. We don't want the drama tag on us, and so it's kind of like, I know some people. They got a little weird with that Holy Spirit thing. Can I just throw something out right here? Holy Spirit isn't weird. He's legit. He's legit. People are weird. I was going to tell you, look at your neighbor, but we ain't going to do that. We're not going to do that. Here's another reason why I think people are living powerless. I think some people are just resistant. Don't feel like they need him. Maybe pound the chest a little bit saying, I got this. And I think the best biblical example that we can use is Peter. I like Peter. I probably pick on him a little bit more than I should. I do have some Bible characters that I pick on. And I probably need to do better with that. There you go. Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus. He had a lot of drive. That's how I would describe him. He had a lot of drive. And he was that volunteer guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I asked for a volunteer right now, I wouldn't even tell you what it was for. There's that guy or that lady in here that's just like, me. And I can just set you up for complete embarrassment. And you would be so gullible and naive, you would just go for it. And then afterwards, it would be, oh, I didn't know. That's how I kind of feel like Peter was. When he first started out, he was Simon. And even though he was that guy, it seems like he was really, really interested and was willing to go after all that God had. And he was really, really following Jesus to the fullest. And in Matthew 16, Jesus is having this conversation with him. Who do you say I am? And this guy, Simon, answers and says, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. And Jesus is pretty impressed. And he basically says, okay, from this point on, you're now Peter, which means rock. And we're going to call you Peter now. And then Jesus says, and this is the rock on which I will build my church. Some people took that to mean that Peter was going to be the rock on which Jesus built his church, which really it was Peter had a revelation that Jesus was going to build his church on, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, the one that we were all waiting for. That's what he built his church on, not on the person of Peter. And so he tells Peter, you're a rock. Now, I want you to know, just because God tells you you are something doesn't mean that you're that yet. So like when you look at your kids and say, you're a world changer. Okay, they're 3 years old. You just changed their diaper. Which I don't know why you changed a three-year-old's diaper. That's another story. But you call them a world changer, not because that's what they're doing, but because that's the potential that you see in them. Am I right? Are you grabbing this? You see the potential in them to be that, and so you're already saying it over him. Now, what's interesting is if you keep reading in that chapter, I guess Peter just kind of felt a little bit good about himself. And so, you know, like, uh-oh, I'm the rock, feeling good, all these other disciples, and there's this constant ongoing competition about who's the greatest disciple. And so I think he's feeling pretty good about himself at this point because Jesus didn't change nobody else's name to rock. And so if you're Peter and your name got changed to rock, you feel like you got some input now. And so Jesus is beginning to tell them how he's going to die for our sins and all this stuff. And Peter, the rock, jumps up and says, oh, no, you're not. I will do it before you will do it because I'm the rock. And Jesus responds something to him that I thought was interesting. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. That's a day. Some of y'all feel like, boy, that's my day in parenting. Like one moment, like you're a world changer. The next moment, look, you little devil. I'm sorry I said that to you, but you need to. I guess y'all didn't like that. Y'all didn't laugh. Anyway, some of y'all are doing that, and we know it. We saw you at the car getting out. But he went from being the rock to now get behind me, Satan. I think that's what I like about Peter is that you really get the insight into seeing his strengths and his weaknesses. And it gives me some hope because I got some strengths and some weaknesses, amen? I'm not just saying that so you amen that I have strengths and weaknesses, but so that you know that you have them too. We know that I have them. A little later, Jesus brings him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Boy, that's big shot. That's like big time stuff. So Jesus brings him up on this mountain of transfiguration, and then Moses and Elijah show up. Listen, if Moses and Elijah shows up at your party, you're pretty legit, okay? And so he's up there on the mountain, and he's trying to get Jesus' attention. He's like, hey, let's build shrines for these guys. And Jesus didn't even acknowledge him. Some of y'all are just feeling rejected for him, but Jesus is just like not even acknowledging him. That's not what we're here for. So as you begin to look into this life of Peter, you see that he had a lot of potential. But this guy, he had some things that needed to be worked on. Am I right? And I think that describes us a little bit. Because we got a ton of potential. But we also got some things that need to be worked on a little bit. Okay, you can elbow your neighbor right here because we all know they need help. They got some things to work on. And so later on, Jesus, he's sitting here having a meal with his guys. It's basically like the last meal. And he tells Peter, he says, oh, yeah, before the alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times publicly. Oh, no, I won't, Lord. No, I won't. No, I won't. And then it happened. He denies Jesus to a crowd of people. He denies Jesus to a soldier and then caps it all off by denying Jesus to a little girl. And then he hears the rooster crow, and he realizes Jesus was right. Can I just throw something out right now? No matter what your argument is, Jesus is right. Okay, he's right. And some of you may be arguing with God about something right now, and you like to win. He's already won. I just want to throw that out and help somebody, okay? So my question is this. If Peter was this rock, why are we not seeing this? I mean, you're with Jesus every day, bro. How can you not get it right? And honestly, that's the kind of stuff I look at that gives me some hope because this guy was walking with Jesus every day in the flesh. You know what I'm saying? And he still needed some help. And I don't get to see Jesus in flesh and blood, but I still need some help. And you do too. Don't look at me like you got it all together. Need some help. So watch this. He had the potential, but he didn't have the power. this lamp right here. We could do a lot with this. If it was dark in this room right now and we wanted to see, this light right here can help us greatly. And I think this light is like us, because Jesus, what did Jesus tell us in Matthew 5? He says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill, light that cannot be hidden. Don't place your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a hill so that all could see. And so it's like, I'm the light of the world, but there's only one problem. This light has all the potential, but unless it's plugged in to a power source, it cannot shine. You want me to shine it at people that really need to hear this today? I'm not going to do it, but those are the kind of things that go through a preacher's mind when they're preaching, by the way. Just letting you in. Some of y'all wonder that stuff. We really do, but then we divert because Cynthia will tell me something after church, and I'm just hungry after church. So watch this. This light has a lot of potential, and if it's plugged into a power source, it can fulfill its purpose. But it's got to get plugged into a power source. And a lot of times we're trying to plug our lives into some things that really do not empower us. They make us feel good. Do you know, I can put this light outside in the middle of the day in 100 degrees, and that is not the most, like, that's not the greatest conditions ever. But just because it's in favorable conditions, staying in the air condition all the time, doesn't mean that this thing's going to shine. Because if I have a power source, I can bring it outside in the heat, and if I plug it in, it still shines in unfavorable conditions. And if I bring it inside where it's nice and cozy and I plug it in, it can still shine. And I can be in the coziest place, but if it's not plugged in, it doesn't have the power to do what it was created to do. And a lot of us are trying to get more favorable conditions, thinking if I had favorable conditions, then everything would work the way it's supposed to. And listen, we can put this inside at 70 degrees, which I like 70 degrees in a house, by the way. Argue with me. Get mad. It doesn't matter. I like it cold, okay? I sweat a lot. I do. I eat salty foods. Get over it. It doesn't matter if it's in the greatest of conditions. If it's not plugged in, it doesn't work. So wherever you're at today, maybe you're in the extreme conditions, and you just feel like you're living in the heat. If you don't plug in, it doesn't shine. Or maybe right now, it is just wonderful living for you. It's the same thing. If we don't get plugged into a power source, we cannot be all that God wanted us to be, and we can't do all that God wants us to do. We can't be the best husband and the best wife that we can be. We can't be the best mom and dad that we can be. Come on. Listen, I know you're losing your mind, mama, because your kids are driving you crazy all summer long. You can't wait for school to start. Well, when school starts, it gets crazy again, too. And you got to have a power source, or else you might do something that you didn't want to do. Come on. This light is made, set up to do everything it's supposed to do. It has all the necessary pieces and parts and elements that is needed for it. It looks good. This, some of you think that would look good in my foyer. Spotlight my pictures. And there's so much potential what this thing could do. There's so much potential of what we can do. But unless there's a power source, it's only wishful thinking. That's all it is. And it turns into a coulda, woulda, shoulda kind of life. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have done. Well, we coulda, we shoulda, but we didn't. Listen, there's a power source that God gives you to enable you to do these things. The church cannot shine unless she is plugged into the power source of the Holy Spirit. So watch this. You have the potential to be free, to do amazing things for God, but you got to have the power to do it. We see potential, but then we run into pressure. we run into problems and we run into people. How many of y'all got some people in your life that seem to get in your way? Don't raise your hand. Don't point at them right now. Don't do that. Not right to do at church. But God's got the Holy Spirit, and he's promised to you, to me, to all of us, to empower us. So watch this. Peter, who's right there with Jesus, cannot become all who God said he could be without the Holy Spirit. So he has this whole denial experience. And he realizes what he's done. And Jesus was nearby, by the way. Saw it happen. Peter just kind of hides after that. But remember, Jesus said, after I'm gone, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the promise. And he was smart enough to show up where he knew he could receive the promise. I just wonder if you're smart enough to show up at the place where you know you can receive the promise. He showed up at the place of promise, and the Holy Spirit filled his life. And when you fast forward to the book of Acts chapter 2, you see something in Peter that you didn't see 50 days prior. It was 50 days later. He denies Jesus. 50 days. There's a crowd of people outside in Jerusalem. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, and Peter stepped forward. You know what he began to do? He began to testify about who Jesus was. And all the missions that he had been on, when Jesus sent him out two by two, I wonder if he was that guy that tried to pray for the kid that had the demon and it didn't come out, and so that dad had to bring the boy to Jesus and said, your disciples tried, but it didn't work. I wonder. Well, now this guy, Peter, is standing in front of a crowd, and he's preaching Jesus to them. And 3,000 people that day respond and believe in Jesus. Something happened in this guy, Peter, that changed his life. It's the Holy Spirit. And I just wonder if that's what the Holy Spirit will do in him. I just wonder what the Holy Spirit would do in you. What could the Holy Spirit do in our homes? What could a Holy Spirit do in our lives personally? He steps forward. Why? Because the Holy Spirit filled him. Now, this thing that was in Jesus is now in him. And he can live in you. God promises it. Jesus teaches it. We just have to receive him. So watch this. The Holy Spirit, he is the power for your purpose. He is the strength for your struggle. He is the counselor for your craziness. Elbow your neighbor real quick. Just nudge him a little bit. The counselor for your craziness. He is the wisdom for your worry. He is the one who will point you to Jesus. He's the one that will help you say yes to God and no to sin. He's the one that will convict you of your sin. He's the one that will prompt you to repent. It's the Holy Spirit. In fact, you didn't give your life to Jesus without the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that was drawing you along. That feeling that you have where you know you need to do the right thing, but you don't know if you can do it or not. And we're sitting here talking about taking a step of faith, I don't know if I can do it. But that gut feeling that makes you feel like I got to take the step, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to draw you towards God's purpose. He's trying to teach you what God will say. He's trying to reveal what God meant whenever he said it. He'll help you know what to say, and he'll help you know when not to say anything at all. Some of you are like, I wish somebody that I knew would have the Holy Spirit in their life so they will just, I wasn't going to say what you were thinking, so they would just stop talking. I know what you were thinking, but I ain't going to say it. Holy Spirit will walk with you in the trial. He'll give you the confidence and the boldness to keep going. He'll give you the wisdom. Come on, somebody. He'll give you the wisdom for your decision. He'll give you hope for your life. He'll enable you to do what you never thought you could do. He'll help you to stand. He'll give you direction. And he'll even use you to be an example for Jesus. That's who the Holy Spirit is. It's not a force. He's a person. He is God. He is the very Spirit of God. He is the power of God that is available to each of us. And again, I just wonder what would happen if we truly lived by the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. I think that we would not have as much of a temper as we usually do. I think our language would completely change. I think some of the temptation that we're falling into, we would be able to resist. Come on, somebody. I think that we would have a lot more confidence. There are people that are sitting in this room, and we are not lacking confidence, and we feel like our confidence comes from all of our training and all this stuff. I want you to know that God can give you the confidence that you need, even at work, even on that big job interview. I believe the Holy Spirit can enable you to say what needs to be said and keep you from saying the things that you thought you should say that you didn't need to say. Now we work great at home too. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom is available. And God says, hey, I got a gift for you. And I promise I will give it to you. I promise you. And so I'm just wondering, how many of you say, I want the Holy Spirit. I don't want just the God part and the Jesus part. I want the Holy Spirit. I want all of you, God. Not just this part of you. I want all of you. So how do I receive the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, where Peter is delivering this message, and I'm so glad Peter delivered it, because a few days ago, he was not that good, and now the Holy Spirit's filling his life, and now he got really good, and it wasn't because he was good in and of himself, so he can't take credit for it. It was the Holy Spirit that made him better, and can I tell you, the Holy Spirit will make you better everywhere, make you a better parent. You say, I didn't come from the best circumstances. It's okay. The Holy Spirit can give you the wisdom that you didn't get. That's why the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. Ask. When's the last time you said, God, I don't know how to do this. I need some wisdom. How is that wisdom going to be delivered into your life? It's through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will come upon you, that will fill you so that you can have some wisdom. So this guy, Peter, who was not all that, who was at the lowest point of his life and probably didn't have a lot of credibility with the other disciples, now the Holy Spirit comes on and he's up there and he's speaking. And this is what he tells them, Acts 2, verse 38. He's trying to tell these people, like, this is what you got to do. Something's happened to me and it could happen for you. So Acts 2, verse 38, he says, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises to you, to your children, and those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. He said, this is all you got to do. So let me package it for you this way. The first thing is decide to make a change. So where's that? I got to decide to make a change. Can't keep living the way that I've been living. When you're giving your life to Jesus, you know what you're saying? I'm going to turn from my way of doing it, and I'm going to follow God's way. So when he says repent, that's what it is. I'm turning from my ways and I'm following God's ways. There are a lot of people who are repenting, but they're not following God's ways. They're just coming up with another way. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus. Amen. So I have to turn from my sin and follow him. So I have to make a decision to change. The second thing, though, is I got to identify with Christ. He said, repent and be baptized. Be baptized. That means I got to identify myself with Christ. Think about what Peter did. Oh, you were one of his followers. No, I wasn't. I don't even know him. That's how he denied Jesus. I don't even know him. No, I'm not that kind of guy. No, I'm going to identify. Yeah, I'm following him. I identify completely with Jesus. His name is written on my life. Amen. Are you grabbing this today? His name is written on my life, so I'm identifying with him. By the way, if you want to identify with him publicly, you do it through water baptism. August 19th is a great day for you to publicly identify yourself with Christ, saying, hey, I'm no longer living my ways, but I am following Jesus. And if you have not signed up to be water baptized yet, I'd go ahead and fill out the connection card right now and tell your neighbor, excuse me while I sign up to be baptized. Leave me alone. I'm trying to do something for Jesus here. Identify with Christ. Think of it this way. If we went to your house and pull out the little detective kit and we're going to fingerprint the place, it would be very obvious to know whose house it belongs to, because we would find your fingerprints everywhere. There's evidence that shows that this is your house. There's fingerprints. Fingerprints help us to identify. If we dusted your life a little bit, would we see the fingerprints of God on you? Would we know that you're truly in God's hands, or are we taking matters into our own hands? Some of us, we're going through some things right now, and it's a little bit of a dusty situation, so perhaps this is helping you to see maybe where your identity is lying. Let's identify with Jesus. Jesus, I belong to you. This is not my life. This is yours. You're calling the shots. And the third thing is this, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a verse in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. It's in several different places. But John the Baptist said this. This is the guy that's baptizing people for the repentance of their sins. People are showing up from everywhere. It's like a big revival. People are just showing up and John's in the water like, hey, come repent and be baptized. And they're just dunking people left and right. I don't think there was a snowball truck there like we usually have. Which, by the way, on the 19th, we're going to have snowballs here for baptism. Just throwing that in there because I know y'all like it, okay? But he said this. He says, I'm going to baptize you with water. But there's one coming after me who's even greater than I am. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's going to baptize you with some power. He's going to give you some power, not just to make up for all the sins in your life, but to help you live sinless. Do you know you do not have to sin? That's going to mess somebody up for a week right there. You do not have to sin. You don't have to. I know you're saying we're all human, we all sin, but you do not have to. And how can we live a sinless life? It's going to take the very power of God that could forgive us of our sins to help us live without sin. And the Holy Spirit can help us. Watch this. This is like a bomb going off right here. The Holy Spirit helps us to live holy. You can't be holy without the Holy Spirit. You can try to be good, but you'll only be good in people's eyes. But to be holy, we need the Holy Spirit. That is so, that's like bombs going off in here. So watch this. John baptizes with water for the forgiveness of sin, but Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. A couple years ago, over the summer, my boys were reading their Bible, had them set up each day, trying to teach them how to read the Bible. My son Judah, he was reading this verse, and I asked him to write down his thoughts on the verse, and this is what he wrote. It was on the fridge in our house. He writes the verse out, and underneath it he writes this. He says, we can do good, but God can do better. When people say, how you doing? This is what we usually say. Doing good. Doing good. We're lying a lot, boy. How you doing? I'm good. No, you're not. We can do good. He can do better. This is the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in our life. He makes us better. He influences us inwardly to be better. There's a lot of outward influences in our life, but God said, I want to put something in you that will influence you from the inside to make you better. What's gotten into you, boy? It's the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Right now, he's with you, but later, he will be in you. A lot of people come to church, and they like to get with the Holy Spirit. We sing these songs, Mercy is Falling. Pour out your hearts before him, and you love the feeling of it. Why? Because you're with the Holy Spirit. But we're going to go out there and grab us an ice cream from Mama P and get in our car. And we're going to start shouting at the devil. Why? Because we got with the Holy Spirit instead of letting the Holy Spirit get in us. In fact, when you read the book of Ephesians, it says this. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that leads to debauchery, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word filled, it literally means continually filled, not just one time. Ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost at church. Good. I wish we would feel the Holy Ghost, though, when we're getting the kids ready for school in the morning. I wish we would sense the power of the Holy Spirit when we're trying to make a decision where we're going to eat at as a family. I wish we would say, ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost after that evaluation at work. Now, if you got the raise, you're coming out like, glory. Going to church and tithing on Sunday. Add a zero, honey. No, I'm talking about when that evaluation didn't go as good as you thought it would. Holy Spirit can help us be greater than we ever thought we could be, even though we have a lack from our training, even though we have a lack in our experience. Can I tell you, I got trained to be a pastor, but there's so much that I don't know. And I need you to know the Holy Spirit definitely makes me a lot better than what I really am. I have the potential to let you down. I have the potential to just make a mess. But I've learned that the Holy Spirit is the person that I need in my life every day to help me fulfill the purpose and the plans of God. And there are fears that I face. There are challenges that I deal with. There are people that come at me in ways that I just never knew people would ever come at me in my life. And there are days that I want to share with them my inner feelings and let them know exactly how I feel. But the Holy Spirit helps me to use some wisdom. And he gave me a good wife too, y'all. But I need you to know the Holy Spirit wants to help you be the best. You have these desires to be the best mom, the best dad, the best husband, the best student, the best that you can be. You can put your tool belt on and you can go strive. Or you can call Tim and say, come with the sky lift because this beam's a little bit heavier than me and I know that I need some power in my life. I might not be able to handle this course that I'm taking, but the Holy Spirit is going to help me discipline myself. Come on, somebody. He's not a magician. Not a magician, because he wants to work through you as he's working on you, because he's trying to develop something in your life that's going to last and not just a flash for right now. He's trying to help you to stay consistent. They call that faithful in the Bible. That's what they call that, faithful. And how are we going to do that? The Holy Spirit. So this is what I want to do. I'm going to pray for you this morning. Whenever they asked, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. So this is what it says. You can go back and read it. Acts 19. So they laid their hands on them and prayed for them. And as they prayed for them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So this morning you say, Pastor, you talking about the Holy Spirit. I need Holy Spirit. I mean, come on, if it's going to help me be better than I am because I'm falling to pieces right now, I need the Holy Spirit. I want you to come on down here. And I want to pray for you. So like in front of everybody, why not? We've all made a fool of ourselves in front of people. Why not make something great of ourselves in front of people? Am I right? Come on, somebody. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, I want you to respond today and I want you to come stand. In fact, why don't you all stand? Come on. And Pastor Paul's going to come up and we're just going to come on. We want to pray for you. It's not going to be weird. We're just going to lay a hand on you and pray over you today. And I'm believing this. Listen, church, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is going to empower you today. You say, well, I've done this before. Good. Me too. I will lay hands on myself. Why? Because I know the verse. It says, be continually filled. This isn't just a one-time thing. Let's get out of the mindset of I checked the box. Good. Keep checking the box. But if your box is checked and your life is still crazy, I need a refill. Go on vacation and don't pay attention to the gaslight. All your plans are great, but you're not going to get there. And it's not because God didn't want you to get there. It's because you didn't put gas in your car. And can't blame God because you didn't do what you knew you needed to do. And there are people here today, you need the Holy Spirit. You've gotten counsel and you say it ain't helping. You need the counselor, the Holy Spirit in your life. And so we're going to pray over these guys up here today. And I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is going to fill them and it's going to make a difference in their lives today. And while we're praying for them, I want to ask you to be praying for them as well. Can you do that this morning? And so come on, church, you begin to pray. We're just going to go down the line, Pastor Paul, and just lay a hand on them and just pray that the Holy Spirit is going to fill them. We're not going to take long. And then we're going to finish up the service today. Can y'all pray?